Charlie Battisti & Co, Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started.
Questions without notice.
And I get your Kevin Sheedy story, right? Because you've put it on the agenda. I didn't see that anyone asked for it, but you've offered it up.
There's been a number of temper texts that have come through.
You get it.
You went through this yourself in 83. How was it handled? There you go.
I'm going to relaunch an idea I had in the middle of the year.
Which was?
Well, I'm going to go for it after your story, right?
Okay.
So what happened to Kevin?
Okay, so that night of the loss, he was filthy. So he delivered a stinging speech at the dinner that night of the grand final.
Yes.
We're all told that we had to be at Essendon at Windy Hill on Monday at a certain time.
After the granny?
After the grand final. On the Monday. So, okay.
Mad Monday.
Mad Monday. And we sat there, right? And he went through the whole game, right, on the old VHS, and he didn't have a remote control. He had to touch the recorder back and forward, back. I reckon it took about 4.5 hours maybe to get through the game. He didn't miss anyone, right? So that whole preseason, there was like this black cloud of anger hanging over us for the whole preseason. Mm. So that's the way it was handled. And I mean, we won in 84, we won in 85, but it was about redemption. The whole thing was about getting out there and redeeming yourselves.
I did a thing with Matthew Lord. You won't mind me telling this story because he told it publicly in front of 1,000 people more. When they lost that prelim, the unlosable prelim.
Yep, against Carlton,
Yeah. So
99.
Kevin Sheedy, so they're red hot favourites, is that right?
Yep.
So he goes, righto, 40 tickets to the players. Everyone goes to the grand final, made them all go to the grand final, sit together. And then with 3 minutes to go, he made them all stand up and walk out so that everyone would see him and yell at him or whatever, and took them up to Geppetto's, which is in East Melbourne, just up the road there. Walked in, and at the door was Robert Shaw with a manila folder. This is on grand final day. They walk in, he hands them a manila folder. This is how we are going to win the 2000 grand final. And, of course, history tells you that they were undefeated bar one game and smashed Melbourne in the grand final.
The genius of the man.
Is there an opportunity? You know what's happened now when Geelong win the grand final, like they did?
Yep. Everybody looks at them and
They go, it's Geelong. It's the competitive advantage. It's the town. It's the peninsula. It's going, you know, it's the lifestyle. It's getting away. It's the cost of living. All that stuff, right? Are you a believer in that?
No.
Why not?
No, I haven't heard anyone say that. You're the first person I've actually heard say that.
So Jeremy Cameron comes back because he wants to have that lifestyle.
No, that's okay.
Danger comes back because he wants to live down at the Moggs Creek and down there. Yeah, Chris Scott's got the setup beautifully that they're in it. I heard Josh Jenkins talking about this. You know, in at 10, out at 2, people, you know, farm.
That's about the environment you create though, isn't it?
Yes, but Geelong's unique. It's unique.
No, I understand that, but you are creating a unique environment. I mean, Richmond, you know, like they've got their own unique environment there, up just down the road from us right here, Punt Road. They don't have the lifestyle part of it, but they've got their own unique environment.
I'm calling for a Mornington Peninsula team again. And I may even call for Melbourne because Melbourne are looking for a home base and have been since I've been involved with that football club. They are yet to establish. They're about to spend multi-billions on a new wedge between somewhere. I think it's the Mornington Peninsula. I think set it up down there.
Self-interest.
And
Self-interest. You've got 80 acres down there. You don't know what to do. You don't know. You've tried sheep. You've tried cattle. You've tried all sorts of things. Nothing's worked. Now you're trying to put an AFL team down there on your property.
It's a lifestyle. It's the escape. It works for the cats. They love it down there. It's a beautiful lifestyle. They're all happy. They're relaxed. Their families are happy. Everyone's, you know, bang, bang, bang. Why not?
Tell him he's dreaming.
Why not, Tim?
I wouldn't dismiss
your home base down there.
Yeah, but it's going to be an expensive exercise for an AFL club, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they're spending 50, 60, 70 million bucks now.
Who?
Clubs establishing their home bases. Hawthorn, where you want to be? Dingley or, you know, just Red Hill or something like that. I'm telling you,
Dingley's a great spot.
I'm not knocking Dingley, but if you're going to spend 80, 90 million.
We're getting already. Gary having a crack at Dingley. I live out here. It's a beautiful part of Melbourne.
All this money's going into these.
Put Gary in his own toolbox file. No. They're coming through thick and fast already.
Oh, give me the news, please. getting a lot of support for my suggestion that Melbourne relocate to the Mornington Peninsula and build a state-of-the-art facility. Someone says it didn't work for St Kilda at Seaford. They didn't go far enough. You've got to keep going down.
Yep.
Your club missed the opportunity. Where would you rather be? At Tullamarine watching planes take off, or down on the beautiful peninsula with some beaches and some wineries and some golf clubs and the lifestyle and the kids?
Don't just dismiss the excitement of just sitting in your car post-training and watching the big jets take off and land.
Well, I understand that geographically it's good for you out there, but what a gilt-edged opportunity.
Well, you're getting a lot of support. What about turning the Dramana Drive-In into a facility?
Beautiful. Hey.
Is that big enough for a facility down there or not?
Yeah, but it's still operational. I go there. I like to go there once a year to the drive-in.
But you could still do that, couldn't you?
You
could still have a drive-in, and then inside the drive-in you could have a training facility.
Matt has hit on it. He says, Geelong have got that advantage. Laid-back lifestyle, beach for a cubby, close to daily family routine, no traffic issues, everywhere 10 minutes away. Who wouldn't, as a recruiting exercise, say, you want to come and play with us?
Mm.
Get yourself down to the Mornington Peninsula. We've got the state-of-the-art facility. We've got the golf. We've got the beaches. We've got the winery. We've got everything down there. And then drive up to the games.
Gold Coast have got that too.
Well, everyone's got. Why
no traffic, beach, even better weather.
No, I think there's something in this. I'm going to take it to Kate Roffey.
Michael's in Preston. Good morning, Michael.
Boys, I just want to know 2 points. If the Goey goes, do you think that helps Collingwood maybe keep Grundy? And the second point is Tom Mitchell. Is maybe he getting looked at insurance in case the Goey does go?
So we had an all-care, no responsibility that Tom Mitchell had a run with Collingwood. We don't know that to be the case. But I don't think he would be looked upon unless Grundy went. I think they think they can still do Grundy and DeGoey, but I'm sure that the Grundy thing's almost done.
The Grundy thing, yes. Mm. But do you think the other point to that is, do you think that there's more interest in Tom Mitchell if DeGoey goes?
Oh,
different plans.
Yeah, maybe. If they're interested in him while they're still trying to keep him, they'd be interested in him if DeGoey goes, wouldn't they?
Mm.
All right, thanks, Michael.
And just clarifying that point, that somebody sent a message in this morning to say that Sydney are interested, but no cigar.
No, we've
dismissed that completely.
All care, no responsibility, one to bed. That is not happening. Lindsay's in Sydney. G'day, Lindsay.
Morning, guys. 2 points. And first of all, Tim, you're kidding if you don't think it's about you, because it always is.
Yeah, good point, Lindsay.
You're right about that, Lindsay. Spot on, Lindsay.
With the investigation with Hawthorn and the players, affected players possibly not talking again, do you think the AFL should go all out to get someone like, and probably to the detriment of Geelong, to get someone like Eddie Betts involved, or whilst I've been on hold, I've even thought about Mick O'Loughlin or Adam Goods because of their credibility with the Indigenous players and the way that they have spoken out in the past?
Yeah, we don't. Obviously, Linz, we don't know what's happening there, but I would imagine all of those names would be thrown into the mix for this, what are we calling it, an investigation?
Yeah.
I would imagine all those names would be, Lindsay. So we'll wait and see. It hasn't been established yet, but hopefully sooner rather than later.
They'll have to, for want of a better term, they'll have to establish the rules of engagement, though, too, won't they?
Of course. Or this is the thing from the merge last
night. And that will be a negotiation between lawyers that represent all parties.
Yeah, and as John Ralph reported, that there's the hesitancy based on historical precedent that some of these families are really reluctant to come forward and speak to some of the investigative bodies that have been put together in the past with some of the determinations that they found. And it is hard to argue when you think that South Australia Health and Safety or whatever it is came back and said nothing to see here from the camp, given what we know since.
Yep.
How do you arrive at that?
And then you look at or you read Eddie's book and it paints a completely different picture. Tom's in Seaford. Good morning, Tom.
Oh, g'day, fellas. Thanks for a great show. Tim, Gary, I'm just very interested in the idea of redemption. You guys did it, Tim, from the 83 loss and won in 84 at 85. Collingwood didn't do it under Tommy Hafey and lost in 02 and 03. And I just wonder what the percentage is of teams that basically get to a granny and can't make it for there. Is redemption sort of mixed with reality? Because isn't the modern playbook, if you do lose, like Geelong's done, and to a certain extent the Pies in 18, how, if you drop a bit, you don't drop long, you try to get elite talent and go again while you still can, and that's this whole theory of rebuild, or do you just top up? But, I mean, redemption, even though, you know, it can be heartbreaking, and you go and go and go and miss out again, and there's a lot of the great players that have followed that path. Does it get to a point where I'm trying to say where the redemption and reality clash?
100%, Tom. 100%. That's a really good point that you make. And it's not just about the fact that you've got to want to get back there. You've still got to have all those other pieces in place, which, you know, the talent and, you know, not just the talent of your team, who else is talented around the time that you're challenging?
Yeah, 100%. Trade Radio Live, all for Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, keeping you safe on the road, tyrepower.com.au. I think he's the best you know in town. I'm going with it. Michael Gleeson from The Age is going to join us. He broke the Jordan Nogawi story. He's up next.